ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रसोऽहम् अप्सु कौन्तेया प्रभास्मि शशि सूर्ययोः प्रणवः सर्ववेदेषु शब्दके पौरुषं नृषु। In this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states, translated into English, that I am the taste of water, Kaunteya. He tells Arjuna, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable pranav om in the Vedic mantras, and Sarveshu, Shabda, the sound in ether and the ability in man. And throughout Bhagavad Gita, in various places, Lord Krishna, he gives examples of how he can be seen in nature and in things all around us. Jivanam sarva bhuteshu, I am the life in every living being. Balang balavatang chaham, I am the power of the powerful, particularly kama raga vivarjitam, that which is power that is exhibited not for fulfilling personal desire or on the basis of personal attachment. So in this way, Krishna gives many examples of how he can be seen everywhere and in everything. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvang cha mai pashati tasyaham na pranashami sachame na pranashati. Krishna very sweetly assures us that for one who sees me everywhere and in everything, that and sees everything in me, that I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. So much of the training that we have in the knowledge of Shastra, of Vedic literature, is meant for this, so that we can see Krishna everywhere and in everything. Of course, not just to see, but to serve. But at the present time, we see everything in material consciousness. We see everything with the consciousness of how can I enjoy it? How can I utilize it to enjoy myself more and more in this material world, to exhibit my superiority over others in other contaminated ways? So we learn from scripture, for instance, by listening to this kind of talk, by studying scripture with the commentaries of the acharyas. Particularly, we study the commentaries of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, especially those of us who know English and not Sanskrit. We are much blessed by the commentaries of Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, we can learn to see Shastra Chakshuhu. We can see through the eye of scriptures instead of seeing through the eye of our own material contaminations and the material contaminations of others who wish to teach us how to see the world, maybe through a communistic lens or a libertarian lens or a be healthy by doing yoga lens or an Ayurveda lens. When we see someone, we think, oh, he looks like his body is kapha pitta, heavyish body. So that's also seen through scripture. But through astrology, we may observe a person and then ask them for that, what lagna, what nakshatra were they born in, and then we presume so many things about that person. That's also seeing through scripture, but that's seeing through scripture in a material way. But the best thing is to see through Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm just saying this as a little introduction to a series of talks that I plan to give on the 24 gurus who are mentioned by the saintly person who is ascertained by the acharyas such as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to be actually Dattatreya. Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava, begins his teaching to Uddhava, very near his, about the conversation between a saintly person who Prahlad Maharaj met in the course of Prahlad's wanderings. And this saintly person taught Prahlad about his 24 gurus. They're not gurus in the classic sense of you surrender to a guru, you bow down to him, you serve him, you hear from him. These gurus are earth, water, fire, air, ether, the mountain, the pigeon, and so on. But the sadhu will explain to Prahlad what he has learned from them. Guru means someone we learn from. So if we learn, if everything we see, we can learn something from it about spiritual knowledge and about spiritual advancement. And of course, it's not limited to these 24 given in the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada himself gave many examples from his own experience. He often gave examples from his own experience to demonstrate points that he wished to make, which are in line with the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't teach anything which was not in the line of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not exactly directly the words of Bhagavatam, but it serves the same purpose. There are many, many examples. One I will cite now of Srila Prabhupada, describing about pavarga. Pavarga is a term that means material. Well, it literally means the five letters of the Sanskrit alphabet, which are grouped in the pavarga. In the pavarga means first comes pa, then comes pa, then comes ba, then comes ba, and then comes ma. This is the pavarga. And spiritual life means to attempt for apavarga, becoming free of material life. So as an example of pa, pa means parishrama. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example, which was very, well, it was practically ubiquitous in the cities of India until recently, of a man pulling on a tela. It means a hand cart. And Srila Prabhupada was raised in Calcutta, and he lived in other cities, Allahabad, Bombay, and in big cities like that, you'd see all the time, throughout the day, men straining hard, pulling huge loads on a handcart. So parishram means hard work. This is indicative of material existence. So Srila Prabhupada gave that as an example of how people, they have to, you'll see these people still in some parts. Nowadays it's mostly by this tempo, this small vehicle, goods vehicle, that goods are carried. But you'll still see sweating under in the sun with very sinewy muscles. And Prabhupada would point out, why? Why are they working so hard? You don't have to work so hard to get, by the grace of God, you can get the food, clothing, and shelter without such terrible work, inhuman work. So that's one example that Srila Prabhupada gave from his own experience and that many Indians, at least, could easily relate to. Another example he gave about the tela, the handcart, is there's usually these handcarts they're pulled by two people. So he said once in Ahmedabad, he saw on one side of the handle on one side was held and pulled by a man, and then on the other side a woman, his wife. Must be, there's no question it was anyone. And there was a child on the back, that child. So Srila Prabhupada gave the example that they're quite happy in their family life. They're working together with the child there. They don't have obviously people doing this kind of physical work are not very wealthy, but they're content, and the wife will serve the husband faithfully and look after the children. And Srila Prabhupada gave this as an example of how in India people remain content in family life, even if they don't have a very high standard of living. And he compared this to the situation in the West, where people are always discontent in their family life and in everything else. It's a broad generalization, but it's pretty accurate. And now that situation is coming more and more here in India too. Just a couple of examples I can give from my own experiences, and everyone can have many if they simply apply their minds to understanding Shastra in everything that they see. There's a couple of frog incidences. One time, sitting in a cottage on a hill on a farm in Karnataka, there was a little pond in front of the cottage, one-room cottage. And there were frogs surrounding the little pond. I was just sitting chanting japa when I saw a snake furtively slithering up. Obviously in high expectation of having his breakfast, eating a frog. So he's coming up slowly, obviously he didn't want to be seen, and just as he was almost within striking distance of catching a frog, one of them saw him and jumped in the pond, and all of them took that as a signal to jump in the pond. They didn't all look around to see what's going on, but they understood there's some danger. And then the snake put his head up, and although you can't see a snake, at least I can't register if a snake is expressing disappointment in his face, but the feeling of disappointment. He thought he was going to get food, he didn't get food. So from that stuck in my mind, because one thing, how Krishna arranges for everyone's food, the frogs were looking for something in the pond to eat, and the snake was looking for the frog to eat. So Krishna arranges for all their food, but he doesn't make it easy. And the disappointment of the snake, even though he's such a deadly creature to the frog, Krishna also provides a means by which the frogs can avoid him. And in this way, everyone's struggling in material existence. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living being lives at the lives on the life of another. And more recently, just a few months ago, another frog story. Just outside another cottage I was staying in a farm in Tamil Nadu. Just outside there was a frog which was being just staying in one place and being eaten by red ants, swarming all over his body. I suspected that he was still alive and just too old and incapacitated and unable to move. And lo and behold, that was true, as he just once opened at least one of his eyes. So I could understand he's still alive, but he can't move. And the ants are just eating him alive. How much suffering is there for the frog? How much he has to suffer for his trying to enjoy life separately from Krishna? Now he has to suffer so much, the living being in the body of a frog. And how cruel and merciless are the ants. Of course, we can't expect ants to have moral principles, but They also, that's their food, and that's how they get it. That's ordained by material nature. But how much cruelty and pain there is in material existence, we can see through the eye of Shastra. Let's get on to the 24 gurus that are... The 24 gurus who the ascetic, the sadhu, explained to Prahlad Maharaj, beginning with the earth. The earth is often cited. By the earth, we're talking about the earth planet. In Vedic culture, in Vedic knowledge, everything is understood to be connected to life. The earth is not dead, the earth is alive. She supports all forms of life. She, I say, her name is Bhumi Devi. She is our mother. We all take birth from her. We're all supported by her. Our bodies enter into her directly or indirectly when we die. Either they rot away, means eaten by microorganisms, or they're eaten by some insects or something like that. Or they're eaten by vultures or jackals, and then that stool becomes absorbed into the earth. Or the body is burned, and then that is absorbed into the earth. So what we can learn from the earth, many, many things. The most prominent example is given that she is the very symbol of tolerance. People who undertake tapasya, austerity, for spiritual advancement, they have to practice tolerance. Srila Prabhupada would often quote from Chanakya, the Kshama Rupa Tapasvinam. We have the person who's undertaking austerities, they have to tolerate. It means they may deliberately put themselves into more heat during the heat of the summer by sitting in the sun and surrounding themselves with fire and meditating in that situation. And in the winter, sitting up to the neck in the cold stream of water, tolerating hunger and thirst as one fasts. So one undertakes austerities for the sake of spiritual advancement. One has to tolerate the difficulties in doing so. And this world is full of difficulties. Much of human endeavor is how to protect ourselves from difficulties. Building a house means to, one of the main purposes of that is to protect us from this, the heat and the cold and the wind and the rain. To protect ourselves from thieves. How we deal with others. Many times we deal with someone very carefully because we don't want them to insult us or chastise us. We say things that we think will be pleasing to others, not necessarily because we want them to feel happy, but we want them to reciprocate with us in a way that makes us feel happy. But someone who undertakes spiritual advancement, he goes against the whole current of society, which means he can expect to be insulted sometimes, maybe not so much in this pious land of India, in other places, more likely. He has to undertake some austerities. has to rise early, which for our own sense pleasure, we would like to sleep more. That has to be overcome, so he has to tolerate that difficulty. And the world is full of difficulty, especially if we go to preach Krishna consciousness, we can expect people to not accept what we say and maybe be angry with us, or displeased with us in various ways. The very endeavor of preaching Krishna consciousness means we have to do a lot of work and travel here and there. And there are many inconveniences involved in that. So just remember the earth, how much she tolerates and suffers and remains completely calm and placid. Sometimes she lets it be known that she's not happy. Maybe earthquakes, or she may withhold the crops or not give a very good crop. The mother sometimes punishes the children. But we should still understand that she is our well-wisher. And that if she's punishing us, it's because we've done something wrong. So in the same way, circumstances don't always go the way we want them. We can't always get what we want, and even if we did get the things we want, they might not be the best things for us. So the earth sometimes withholds, Krishna sometimes withholds, or the situation becomes difficult. So instead of blaming God, oh God, why is he making this suffering for me? We should understand that now I'm being taught a lesson. He's teaching me a lesson. That doesn't mean that we have to tolerate anything and everything. As parents, the parents have to chastise their children, train their children. They shouldn't tolerate the children misbehaving. The child may not even know what it means to misbehave. They have to be taught. It takes a lot of tolerance to teach the child, especially when they're very young. So remembering the earth who tolerates, who simply tolerates, and sometimes gives some slap also. But at the same time, we should, just like we understand God is giving us some difficulty, that doesn't mean we reject God. People think, oh, why is God giving so much suffering? I don't believe in God. But that's a kind of madness. Just like the father gives birth to the child, the father may also give some difficulty to the child. The child doesn't want to go to school. The child doesn't want to get up in the morning, or the child doesn't want to go to bed at night. That's quite common. You're supposed to go to bed on time. Children, they require sufficient sleep. So the father, for the good of the child, may give some chastisement. But that doesn't mean that we reject the father. Or we say, there is no father. I don't believe you're my father. This is all madness. So by seeing the earth, we can learn tolerance and never be distracted from our progress on the path of spiritual advancement. Even if we are harassed by other living beings or by nature, understanding that everyone is under the control of God and everyone acts impelled by their own nature. And if there's some disturbance to me, I may try to rectify that, just like I might not bathe in very cold water in the winter, knowing that if I do so, I'll get sick, and if I get sick, then I won't be able to discharge my service to Krishna properly. With this attitude, we may try to counteract disturbances, but always keep focused that our main business is to serve Krishna. We should be steady like the earth. The mountain is born from the earth. The mountain is completely steady. The mountain doesn't move. The mountain remains fixed. So we should remain fixed in Krishna's service. Another example is that of the tree who dedicates himself to the service of others with complete tolerance. People take flowers, fruits, leaves, some trees, the bark is used for clothing, for anchorites, or saintly people living in the forest, they may use the bark of the tree. All parts of various all parts of trees can be used for various medicinal purposes. People cut the trees for their own usage. The tree never complains. The tree simply tolerates. The tree gives shade. The tree gives heat by giving its wood for fire. So the tree completely dedicates himself for the service of others. So that we can also learn from the tree. Tolerance, Tarori Vasa Hishnuna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one should be tolerant like a tree and dedicate oneself to the service of others like a tree. So that's a summary of the first example. Could be expanded more and more. Just giving some basic ideas so that when we see a mountain, we see a tree, we can think of the quality we have to imbibe from that. Or if we feel ourselves being disturbed in various situations, we should remember the example of the earth and not be disturbed and go on with our Krishna consciousness. There is more to discuss another time, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.